Hello, my friends. Sorry that it's a little late in the day, but hopefully you can still get to hear this before Shabbat. If not, you can just always, you know, make up and return to past recordings that you haven't heard. We are on day 35. We are almost there. So just power it up. Stick with me. We are on the power to change. Now, I started the chapter with a story about Zach Clark, who was just a regular 20-something dude who until one day was diagnosed with a terrible brain tumor. And after a surgery, he became addicted to painkillers and his life just spiraled out of control. He got a DUI, his wife left him, he was arrested, he was in and out of rehab, and it just looked like, you know, his life was done. Somehow, he was able to become successfully rehabilitated. And even more impressive was that he was able to use his past demons to help others. Once he got clean, he famously co-founded a drug rehab center which helped countless people, other people, become sober. And this is really the power of tshuva. We believe that repentance, not a good word, really means lashuv, to return, has the power to not only erase past sins, but actually elevate them. The Talmud says, and I put it in the chapter, that a tshuva done out of fear, right? We're just afraid of what's going to happen to us if we don't do it. That tshuva, which is a very low level, you know, motivation to do tshuva, that can transform our intentional sins into accidental ones, as though we committed the sin not on purpose, but by accident. And if we are able to muster the strength and the energy now during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, these 10 days of repentance, this Shabbat, Yom Kippur, if we can do it out of love, because we just want to be closer to God, and we feel bad that the sin or whatever it is we've done has created distance, and we want to get back in with Hashem, just because we love having a close relationship with our Creator, then our act of tshuva can transform our sins into merits. If you want to check it out, I didn't make this up. It's found in the tractate Talmud Yuma 86b. And the question is, how is this possible? Because in our physical world, you know, once we do something, you can't take it back. All right, you can always ask forgiveness from other people, but it's out there. And for this reason, the sages view tshuva really as a gift from another world. And it's not of this world, it's something from another place. And all of this is symbolized. I want you to think about this on Tuesday night. If you can remember this on Tuesday night, I'm going to give another explanation, if you're joining us at MGE, on Tuesday night, why we say the Kol Nidre, something from Rabbi Sacks. I can share that another time. But this is the idea why we recite, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik, why we recite the Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is just basically annulment of vows. It's quite mundane and legalistic. I took a vow, I made a promise that I didn't keep, I said something which was inappropriate, I took something which didn't belong to me, I'm embarrassed about it, but how am I going to take it back? And tshuva tells us that you can take it back, and that's exactly what an annulment of a vow is. I made a vow, I promised I would, I would stay away from dark chocolate, even though dark chocolate is supposed to be very healthy, but I said I was going to stay away from it, and then I couldn't handle it. I was tempted, and I did it. I can now annul that vow on the night of Yom Kippur. How? I said something, I went against what I said, and now I can just take it back? Doesn't seem to make sense. And it doesn't in the physical realm, but it does in the spiritual realms. It's a gift that God gives us, that he wants us to take advantage of this time of the year. And the other thing, by the way, I just want to mention, is that there are so many words that we say. Most of the al-chaitz, you know, those for the sin of this and for the sin of that we say throughout the Yom Kippur service, deal with, I think, like 24 out of the 40 have something to do with our mouths, the way we speak, because Judaism views our words as paramount. So that's another reason why we do the Kol Nidre, because we want to impress upon ourselves on the holiest night of the year that what we say in life matters. We know that Hashem himself created the world through speech. This is expressed in the famous prayer that we use to kick off the Psalms of Praise, the Baruch She'amar. We say, Baruch She'amar V'haya Olam, blessed is God who spoke and the world came into being. Right? God could have created a magic wand and created the world with a magic wand. He used speech to teach us that through speech we can create new realities, or God forbid, we can use it to bring other people down. So that's one reason why we still say Kol Nidre. But I think the more fundamental reason, the idea I shared earlier about Rabbi Soloveitchik's a concept, because that's exactly the way tshuva works. Don't get bogged down in the past. You can change it. Even if you don't muster up the motivation of love, and you just do it because, you know, all right, I'm a Jew, I'm supposed to do it, it's Yom Kippur, blah, 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 that still removes and erases it as though it never happened. Or it changes it as though it happened accidentally. And if we can muster up, because we want to be closer to Hashem, I'm going to share with you my sermons. I'm working on this for the first night of Kol Nidre night, that deep down, metaphysically, we all want to be connected. I have certain sort of proofs and evidence of this from the Torah. Let's try to get into that, because if our motivation of doing tshuva, this Yom Kippur, comes out of love, comes out of like, I just really want to have a connected, spiritually connected kind of life in the coming year, then Hashem is going to look back at the things that we did, and He's going to take that negative energy, and He's going to convert it into positive spiritual energy. And like Zach Clark, He's going to be able to take someone who's completely down and out, turn it around, so he can not only pull himself out of that abyss, but he can help others as well. I wish you all a beautiful and holy Shabbos. Gemar Chasim Batova. Also want to thank my dear friend Alex Abel Siegel, who sponsored today's recording. Shabbat Shalom.